Hi, welcome to the Audio Engineering Podcast with me, Streaky, and...
me, Shay.
And today we're talking about personal preference. We're talking about how, if you're working on some tunes and it's not your kind of thing, can you still work on them? Are you still interested? Do you work better on stuff that you're into?
Does it affect the way that you work on that music? I mean, yeah, shall I kick off with this one?
Please do.
Yeah. So yeah, if I like a style of music, say that I'm mixing that style of music or doing like stemming that style of music, if I like that style of music, I'm going to have more interest in it by default, pretty much. I'm going to enjoy the music, so I'm going to have more of a fun time working on it. So say if I'm making drum and bass, mainly electronic styles of music, like I prefer to work on electronic styles of music, but it doesn't mean to say that I wouldn't or I don't work on acoustic type stuff or band type stuff. It's just different. It's not my personal preference to listen to on my iTunes playlists or my Spotify playlists, but I find working on it and not being into that music, it opens me up to wanting to listen to that style of music. And it opens me up to understanding the differences that there are between these styles of music in terms of engineering, in terms of the sound, what's most important, where the sounds lie, like things that are in rock music, the instrumentation might lie or sound better in different places than in a electronic track that has a few of those instruments in. I would, even though they're the same instrument, I might treat them slightly differently.
Yeah, I think it's different. It is, again, different for mixing and mastering. Mm-hmm. My thought on it is, because with mastering, you are mastering always, and every engineer does it, a wide variety of tracks. Mm-hmm. Because you're not listening in a... you're not listening as a creative way as you are mixing. You're listening to the veneer, as I always say, and you're listening to treble and bass and things like that. You're not as creative as manipulating the actual sounds themselves. Mm-hmm. So the sounds and the kind of vibe of something is already there. You're just trying to add some space, clarity, punch, things like that. Now, having said that, you need to know how much low end to leave on drum and bass mm-hmm. tunes. Or hip hop or pop music or guitar music. So it's kind of, but a lot of that is already there in the mix mm-hmm. and you can kind of hear what they're going for. So you end up mastering it so that it's emphasizing what they're looking for. For example, Oasis records, mm-hmm. hardly any low end on them. Mm. Noel Gallagher doesn't like low end.
Right.
So his records have always really bright. He likes bright records. And if you listen to any sort of influences for a band like Oasis mm-hmm. and Coldplay and things like that, Coldplay may be a bit different. They've got electronic stuff going
but
on.
Like, but like Stone Roses, people like that.
They're all very, very sort of washy, guitar-y, that kind of sound. Yeah. It's not all about the bass. The bass is there, but it's not all about the bass. Where... for obvious reasons, dance music is all about the bass.
Yeah.
So it's about trying to get that bass tight and things like that. So you kind of can hear that anyway, because someone's going to, a lot of the time, people are going to overdo what they're trying to get across mm-hmm. in a mix. They're going to put extra bass on or extra top just to emphasize it more. And a lot of the times you're kind of balancing it back up and just holding those things down a little bit before they run roughshod over the whole thing and rip your head off, or you know, or they just sound muddy or whatever.
But I mean, don't you prefer working on or enjoy working on music that you like to listen to or that you would listen to in your spare time? Wouldn't you not say that you'd prefer to do it, but isn't it more enjoyable to be working on music that you would gladly listen to in your everyday life? Rather than
now, for me,
yeah.
I don't listen to music in my everyday life.
Okay.
Right. And I think that's what happens to you when you do your hobby as a job.
Yeah.
Is it gets rid of your hobby because it's not your hobby anymore. It's work.
See, I constantly listen to music. There's not a time when I don't have a headphone in my ear unless I'm talking to someone. And in a lot of cases, I'll have one headphone in my ear just listening to music. I love listening to music 24/7 if I can. So, yeah, it helps me to be working on stuff that I like.
Put it this way, I'm working all day on albums, so I could be working 10 hours on different tracks all day long. The last thing I want to do when I get in the car is put music on because I've had it in my ears all day long.
Yeah, and it's going to sound rubbish in the car.
Well, yeah, it sounds rubbish, but you're just tired. Your ears are tired. You just don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah,
I say I don't listen to music, but obviously I haven't got any choice. I've got children. I listen to music all the time at home now.
Yeah.
And I'll find things on YouTube and I'll listen to things and I'll reference stuff back and I'll go and listen to things against. But as a kind of, I'm not a fan of any one genre is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I'm not somebody who goes like I used to when I was younger. I'd go through stages of right rare groove. Then I'd be into hip hop for a few months. Then I'd be into dance music. Then I'd be into indie. Then I'd be into, and you kind of get into those scenes for a bit and live those scenes for a year or two. And then you move on to whatever the next one is. And I think that as you get older, because you've gone through all those different periods of music and been into those different things, you have a vague interest in all of them. And then if you mastered loads of different tracks every day, you're more into how can I get this to sound the best it possibly can for that sound rather than I'm into this. So, you know, I get more off on when I'm doing something if the mix sounds good and I can tweak it and get even more out of it.
Yeah.
That's the enjoyable thing for me. It's not the fact of, because I'm not even listening to vocals.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm not listening to instruments in the same way that anyone else is. I'm just listening to it as a tune. And then I'll have to listen back to it afterwards, away from it, to then go, oh, yeah, it's all right, that. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, when it's printing down, it's when you actually listen to it. I suppose, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and then you sort of make a few changes then because you think, oh, I hadn't noticed that because I was too into a certain, you know, I was so into the sorting the bass out that I didn't even realise that that was going on. And now I've sat back a bit, I can hear a bit more. So you end up redoing it again as it's going down. Yeah. It's kind of like the out of room test.
See, I've found that working on loads of different styles of music has opened me up to those styles of music. So now my everyday listening is all random. Like I could be listening to 1 minute a drum and bass track on a playlist, then it goes straight into a garage track, then into like a Red Hot Chili Peppers tune, and then into some ambient stuff. And it's all within the same playlist within 15 minutes of each other. But it's only really through working on those styles of music where you can appreciate them more. Whereas before it was, I like it, I don't like it. Now it's, the reason I like them now is for the reasons why I didn't like them before. Because I can understand exactly why I didn't like them. And then I can appreciate how it was done and why it was done. It's just through listening, not as a consumer, but as like an engineer, you end up being a better consumer for all music.
But on to personal preference, it's when you're talking about building a career within a thing, like you can be a general guy. But I think that a lot of the people that I know that have built careers, especially in their early days, it's a very good way to build your career, is to just be in one genre and know that genre. Because if you've listened to any of the other stuff on the channel that we've spoken about, we're talking about networking, we're talking about finding your crowd, finding your true fans, that kind of thing. You're not going to do that if you don't specialize in a genre early on. As your career moves on, obviously the music scene changes as your career moves on. For example, if at this present moment, grime is a big thing, if you're into grime music yourself and you're starting off as an engineer, then you should stick to grime, go hard on it, go to all the clubs, meet everybody, blah blah, get and build a name for yourself in that scene, then slowly branch out into some other scenes to then build your career that way. And then by the times you get to, I don't know, well, I've been doing it 25 years, so by the times you get 25 years in, you can pretty much work on everything because the genres have changed so much throughout that 25 years that you've got an appreciation for all of them and understanding of all of them. So then, and also your contacts have built up, so you're able to, and those contacts have moved into other areas. For instance, loads of the guys when I was starting out in dance music, they all moved into pop music, then they moved into songwriting, then they moved into other stuff. So it's, their careers are going to move. As their careers move, they're still working with you, they're still creating music, but maybe different types of music. They might be writing film music. They might be doing all kinds of different things. So then you're still going to get work from them as time goes on. So it's important, I think, to be into the music that you know and love to start with, but not necessarily, I don't think it's necessarily true as your career moves on.
It depends on where you are in your career with it. Like, it's true, like what you say, be known as that guy at an early stage, like you say, for grime music. If you're a grime engineer, do grime. Be known for, that's the guy to go to if you want grime. If you want it to sound like the grime that's out at the moment, for the next 2-3 years, it's going to be grime heavy. Get as much grime through your studio door as possible and be known as that grime guy. Once the grime scene is on its way out a little bit, or not on its way out, but not as popular, and goes back underground again, then you've already got that base of being that engineer guy. Like, he did grime before, that was really good. And the only thing that's going to happen is going to be an evolution of grime, which is going to be the next big thing. So the natural evolution will be you move on to that one, and then there'll be a whole load of new producers coming out for that sound, but then they'll know of you through the other producers that they liked before.
Yeah. Stuart, who I work with, classic example, really, really in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, heavily known for doing drum and bass. You know, did the first Ronnie Size record. So after that, all the other guys just followed in because that was like the biggest guy. You know, Ronnie Size, similar vibe to, say, Skepta or something now. And after that, the scene developed. And, you know, but now he's moved into, because of all those producers that were producing then, Fresh and all those guys, they then produce for pop artists. So because they produce for pop artists, they then go to Stuart for their pop music to be mastered. So then Stuart morphs into top the top guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So then that's exactly how that's worked. So that's why specializing in a genre, and sometimes you just fall into it. You know, I've never really said I'm this kind of guy or that kind of guy, but you kind of then you kind of get in with the crowd and they move and you move with them.
But if you do a record that does well, you're known as the guy that did that record, so then you're automatically attached to the scene.
Everyone needs their hit. But I don't know if you are automatically then attached to a scene as a mastering engineer. You would be as a mix engineer or recording
engineer.
Definitely
as a producer, obviously, but it's... But then, yeah, I mean, I don't know though, still, it's like people that like that track, say you've got one hit track as a mastering engineer, at that time, people are going to want to know who mastered that, who did that, and then everyone's going to want to go for you for that.
Yeah, but that's not... But you're not going to get enough work out of one track. That's the only problem. Because you've got to have so much work coming in as a mastering engineer. As a mix engineer, you could do one track a week and survive. As a mastering engineer, you need to be doing 50. So it's a totally different... You know, it's different from that point of view. But yeah, it is the case that you need to find your style to start with and then move with it.
But I still think that it helps to be, to have a personal preference kind of thing when dealing with engineering music. Like it makes it more enjoyable. Like if I know in, say, the calendar for Thursday, I've got a drum and bass record that I'm co-producing or something like that, I can't wait for that to happen because I like drum and bass. Do you know what I mean? Or whether there's someone that's a singer-songwriter that wants me to produce their record. Even though I'm still going to do it and I'm going to be into it, I'm not going to be as thrilled about turning up to it, or I'm going to be more apprehensive about it. Do you know what I mean? I know I'm going to enjoy the drum and bass one. I don't know if I'm going to enjoy the other one as much until I get there, see what they're like, what sort of music they want to be making. If it's not what I was making the day before, I'm going to be making the day after. Am I going to be into it as much? I'll still give it the same amount of effort. It's just I might not be as happy on the day. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like I'll be working for them rather than us with in them. A room vibing. Yeah, yeah. If it's a record, if it's a style of music that I'm really into, say on a mix session where people are there, it's like awesome. Perfect. I'm really into it and I feel like part of the team and all that. Whereas if I'm not invested in the music, and it's not my style of music, I'm the engineer. Still do my job, still do it as good as I would have done all the other stuff, but I'm the engineer for the day. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I've got a step back from it rather than that creative angle added to it. Your personal preference to people. Do you like them being quiet or do you like them being involved? If they're involved, it makes for a much better session. If they're too involved... Sit down a minute.
I was about to say, easy.
They're too involved.
There's a level of involvement.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's also a level of involvement with the knowledge as well. I don't mind someone being fully involved if they've got the credentials and they're telling me, they're pointing things out and stuff. But then, come on, they're not really going to, are they? It's like they're better coming in, let me do my thing, chatting, telling me what they're after, me trying to get that for them, and everyone having a nice day.
Well, like I did, I mean, just a bit like story thing. I did like a recording. I used to work at a recording place. I won't say it was for, but yeah, I was recording and a female vocalist came in and didn't have much expectation of she would know what was she was doing because she's just a singer in my mind at the time.
Is this Metrophonics?
No.
Metrophonics? Is that the name of the place?
No, it wasn't, which is good because you got it wrong. So no, it's not.
Right.
I won't say where it was or who it was.
But, you don't have to say who they were really good. You can say where it was.
Okay, Xenomania it was.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I love working there. And it was, there were a female vocalist came in, didn't really expect her to know about signal chains and mic placement and, do you know what I mean? Like mic pre-gain staging and that.
Yeah.
And set the mic up and that. She was like, first thing she said, is this the mic? And I was like, yeah. She said, is that the audio interface we're using? I was like, looking around like, well, yeah. She was like, okay, just give me 2 seconds. And she set the mic up properly. She put it off axis. And she said, do you mind if I just get the levels for it? And I was like, you be my guest. Do you know what I mean? It's half my job done.
Yeah.
Sat back and she got a perfect vocal take. And she was telling me like, oh, on this bit, I'm going to move further back a little bit so you don't have to add too much compression. If you can keep quite a low ratio on my compression and that. And I was like, whoa. Yeah, and it just threw me. But
yeah,
I didn't mind
it. That's what you want. That is being professional.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't mind it at all because it made the session like, I felt like I could talk to them in engineering speak.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Can I just give you a couple more dB? I'm just going to pull you down a couple.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean? I might do a double track on this section here. Like, what do you feel about that? She's like, yeah, but I'll only do the second verse at the end of each phrase. Like, second word at the end of each phrase. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yes, this is what you want.
Yeah.
And then you've got someone that says, could you just make it bigger? Bigger to me could be 101 different things. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, personal preference. If they're good to work with, of course it's going to make the session run so much better.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have mattered if that girl was singing opera or whether she was singing grime.
Yeah,
because she knew what she was doing, that made the whole session much more enjoyable.
Oh, it was brilliant. And I remember when she left, I went downstairs and said, whoever she comes back again, make sure I'm not there.
Yeah,
because that the day went so quick and like we had a laugh about
she walked out the door going, God, he didn't know a thing, that bloke. Don't put me with him.
Yeah, straight away. It's funny because I only recorded that one.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Right.
But, it does make it better. Yeah, go on.
On that bombshell, let's go. Okay, well, that's been the Audio Engineering Podcast. I've been Streaky. He's been...
Shay.
And please like, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, please ring the bell at the bottom and put the thumbs up. Until next time, thanks for listening. Cheers.